With us today, although not in here right now, is our daughter, who is six, Ruth, and our son, Jude, who is 8 months old and in the nursery, and hopefully allows Charity to stay in here the whole time, but we will see. But it's good to be here. A little bit about ourselves. Charity and I, our first time visiting this church was almost exactly about 14 years ago when we arrived to assist with a wedding. And we are glad to be back here frequently over the years to do that. But we serve currently in Jamaica, like we mentioned. And if you come back tonight, we'll share a lot more about, or this afternoon, a lot more about what we are doing. But our general idea is that Jamaica has a very active, or I'll say a busy church. There's lots of churches, but they have grown more and more empty, and partly that is because they have neglected to send people into the rest of the world and to reach out beyond themselves. And our goal there is to come alongside the churches, evaluate their spiritual health, and prepare them and train them to reach out from their own comfort zones to their own communities, the different peoples who live in their own communities, and then to the rest of the world. And so that's what we are in Jamaica doing, and welcome you to come back later tonight. If you can't come back tonight, you can stop by our table and sign up for our newsletter, or pick up a card, ask us questions, and we're happy to do that. But to transition from that to what I want to talk about today is just that idea of when often we think of missionaries, many of us, depending on the stories we've heard or the people we've met, have a lot of different ideas of what that means to be a missionary and what missionaries' lives are like. And we really do appreciate your church, my wife and I do, because your church has enabled us a few times to visit you guys virtually. I don't know if any of you were here. We saw the back of your heads most of the time, so it's good to see the front of you this time. But we really appreciate that. But it's good that communication has allowed those sorts of visits, so you get to see into our home and we get to share and talk with you about what's going on. But at its heart, a lot of time, missions, from when Paul was sent out from his church in Antioch to today, is that you send somebody to a place that the church can't naturally be in order to do the work of the ministry of the church in a different location. And a missionary, ultimately, while they seek to become part of the culture and really connect with the people, always lives with that idea of separation, that this is not necessarily exactly where they belong. Many missionaries do struggle sometimes with where do they belong, and that is a conversation for another day. But it's the idea of living and going to a place, but it's not fully your home, not fitting in. And many of us know kind of what it's like to go somewhere temporarily or to not fit in to certain places. You know, when you travel, if you go to a family member's home or a hotel, you know, you try not to expand your stuff all out because then you have to pack it all up again. You know, it's like, all right, I'm not going to fully get comfortable because I have to leave again. And if you have kids, they don't understand that concept, and so then you're packing all their stuff up. But the idea is the same, is that we understand the idea of going somewhere, and it's not our home. We're there for a purpose, we're there for a reason, but we know we're going to leave again. But in our normal lives, we like comfort, and we like to fit in and feel like we are at a place that we can stay and really relax. You know, we try to make our homes comfortable, or wherever we live, we put things where we like it, and we can put our feet up and relax. But what I want to encourage you with today is, while maybe you can't necessarily be a missionary and go to a foreign place, the Bible does suggest to us periodically that if you have chosen to follow Jesus Christ and call yourself a believer, you are actually to live in this world as if you don't actually belong. You are to choose to live differently, as if this is only a temporary location, as if you are not to get totally comfortable in this world because you don't actually belong there. And if we can develop that heart, then all of us can live missional in our lives because we recognize that we do not belong, but we are here for a particular purpose. And to help us do that, I just wanted to share and open two different stories of two different people in the Bible who made a choice to follow God and thus had to live in their current location as foreigners, as people who did no longer belong where they were. And in reality, for some people, I know as I've come back to the United States and have traveled, there's a lot of people sitting in churches who feel like more and more they don't even belong in their own culture and country anymore. And the idea that the United States of America has become a place that they don't fully fit in, and they feel more and more like outsiders. And that creates fear sometimes and worry. But as a missionary, I want to encourage you to embrace that feeling, because that helps you connect with missionaries, with Jesus Christ as he temporarily lived on this earth, with the idea of not being comfortable. And so the first story I want to talk with you through comes from the book of Joshua. So if you turn to Joshua chapter 2, and I'm going to first talk about this character named Rahab and why she and what she demonstrated. And through these two individuals, I want you and me together to really learn and be challenged today with what are things we can do in our lives that demonstrate and participate in living in a place that we're not calling our home. I'm going to stop and pray before we get into the word. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the part this church has played in the work of missions over the years, and for being able to gather today in person to fellowship with one another. But as we look at the word, challenge our hearts to live as strangers and foreigners in this world, as our home is somewhere else. May we be challenged today with actions we can take that demonstrate a willingness to follow after God and not grow comfortable in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, the character Rahab, many people who have grown up in church are probably familiar with her, but I want to focus her story a little bit different today. But if you're not familiar, when the nation of Israel left Egypt and they walked out in the plagues and Charleston Heston as part of the Red Sea, and they walked through, if anybody's watched old movies, don't worry. You know, they moved in the wilderness, and they sinned, and they stayed in the wilderness a long time. But eventually Moses died, and a man named Joshua took over, and then God was ready to move them into the promised land. And as part of the process, Joshua sends two men into the land, specifically the city called Jericho, to evaluate the defenses of the city. At this point in time, Joshua is under the assumption that they are going to have to use military tactics to conquer this land. God has not told Joshua he has a unique way of overthrowing Jericho. So at this point, Joshua is doing the best he knows how to do. He's making a plan, and he's doing what he thinks is best. So he sends these two men in, and these two men are clearly outsiders when they walk into town. And Jericho being a small town, they recognize somebody's an outsider. I would imagine here in Newfield, it wouldn't take long for an outsider to be recognized. Who's that person? Have you seen? Like, our car's out here with Ohio license plates, right? Everyone's like, what are they doing here? You know, these two men walked into Jericho, and word got around that there were strangers in town, and it passed all the way up to the king of the city of Jericho, and he started to hunt them out because he was concerned these people were indeed doing exactly what they were doing. It wasn't a secret. They were there to spy out and to take over. So rightly, he was concerned, so he sent spies. And this woman named Rahab, who's mentioned in the Bible as a harlot, chooses to hide these men. And after she sends the guards and the soldiers on their way to chase after a direction that they did not go, we find out here in Joshua chapter 2 that she brings the men out and has a conversation with them. And what we see in this conversation is that she is following through the process of the same thing that a person does when they choose to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. First, she acknowledges that she has heard facts about things that God has done. I've heard about how God did this. We've heard about how God parted the Red Sea and all of that. She now then, in verse 11, acknowledges that her emotions and her soul have been affected by what God has done. It says, our hearts melted, we were afraid, and all of this. Now verse 12, she now chooses to put her hope and trust in these men and their God. And she asks for deliverance when these people come. So she has acknowledged in her head the knowledge that she has about God. She has acknowledged the effect it has on her heart and her emotions and her soul, and is now making a verbal declaration and a choice to align herself with these two men. Now, where is she currently? She's in her home, in her own hometown, with her own government and her own social construct, and all she has is these two men who represent something else. And she's saying to these two men, I'm choosing to align myself with you. And by so doing, what has she now done? She's rejected her own culture, her own people, and has chosen to put her hope and trust in a bigger concept, God, represented by these two humans. Now, she knows those two people aren't the deliverance she seeks. She's actually putting her trust in the God that they represent. And she's acknowledging that those two men cannot deliver her right now, but the God they serve is able to preserve her. And so she makes that decision. And that's great. I hope many of you who are sitting here have acknowledged what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and you have acknowledged that it affects your heart and challenges you. And so you have come to a point in your life where you've made a physical, verbal proclamation of your decision to trust in God and the deliverance he will provide at some future time. So now, what happened to Rahab? Because what she does now provides a lesson for how we are to live in a world that we have now rejected. And what she does is she has a house that has access to the wall, so she lowers the men out on a rope. And after she lowers them out, then she has a further conversation, tells them where to go. And then the men reply and say, we will deliver you. But they ask her to do something. Now you have to picture the scene in your mind. Here is Jericho, this walled city. There is now a rope hanging out of one window of her house, thus by suggesting her house is sufficiently high that you wouldn't want to jump out the window. And they have lowered themselves on the rope, and now a conversation is being held outside of the wall before these men depart. And she is going to have to go back into the city. And now there on the outside, now there's a rope hanging from her window, and she now is told, when we come into the land, that's going to be important, then you will hang this from your window. They're basically saying, when we come into the land to demonstrate that you have indeed made a true, faithful proclamation, this very rope that you just let us escape from, hang it out your window. Then they leave. And now Rahab is left with a promise and a request. A promise that she will be delivered if she stays in her house and leaves this rope out her window when the Israelites come into the land. And now she waits. She goes back into her home. She sent them on their way. They were to go 3 days and wait into the woods and then go back to the Israelites. Where's Rahab? Waiting. The spies return back to their camp and they report back. Where's Rahab? She's waiting. God tells the Israelites to pack up and move and to prepare to cross the Jordan River. And so they begin this whole packing process. Rahab is waiting. Joshua comes and they part the Red Sea and they enter the land, and all these massive amount of people and animals and men, women, and children cross and make up camp. They're now in the land and Rahab is now waiting. But now they're in the land. So what does she have to do? She has to go tie that same rope out, throw it out her window, call her family into her house, and shut the door and wait. Now, this is a small town. Jericho's not very big. If you look even on Google Maps today, you can see this little place of Jericho, which is like a oasis in the middle of a brown field. And small Jericho would sat there. And everybody in town's wondering, what's Rahab up to? What's that rope hanging out her window? Did she have something to do with those men? They were at her house, right? What does she have to do? Leave that rope out and shut the door. And you think that they're going to show up at Jericho right away, but that's not what happens. Because after they enter the promised land, God has the Israelites circumcise all the men. And then they all have to heal. And then they celebrate Passover. And after all of that, then God says, all right, now we're ready to take Jericho. But I'm going to take a whole week of walking around to do it. Where's Rahab? She's waiting. And all this time, Rahab has made the conscious decision to reject her own culture, and she has been asked to do something very difficult, and that is to hang out her window a public proclamation of her faith choice. Because this rope hanging out her window would not take a rocket scientist to figure out what had happened. She had let these men come into her house and then escape, and that rope was a clear reminder to the rest of her city that she had done something, and now she was closed in her wall, in her doors, separated from her culture, making a public proclamation of her faith, waiting. And the reason that fascinates me is that as a believer, we have rejected this world and we have chosen to put our hope and faith in God and Jesus. And he has promised, we talked about in Sunday school this morning, that he would come back. But we're waiting. You and I are stuck in a world that we have rejected and chosen to put our faith and trust in something else. We don't know how long till the deliverance is going to come. Rahab didn't know how long. She didn't get the battle plan. Every day when the Israelites come and walk around, she's looking out. What are they doing? Are they coming for me? No, not today. The next day, oh, is today the day I see my deliverance? Oh, no, I'm still stuck in this world. The third day, are they coming for me? Oh, nope, they're leaving again. We as believers, have you ever felt like that? As the world is changing around you and you've rejected the world, it's like, is God coming to take? Oh, nope. Not yet. Do I get to escape the pain and suffering and heartache of this world? Nope, not yet. And all along, Rahab's had to have this rope out the window. The same thing is true for you and I, is that God is not satisfied with a one-time verbal proclamation of our choice to follow him. We even talked about it in Sunday school. God has asked us as believers in this world that we live in to publicly live out our faith in this world. We are to proverbially hang a rope out our window, demonstrating that we have trust. Now, I don't physically mean you put a cross on your house and that tells the world you're a Christian. Now, you're welcome to do that. Now, what Rahab was doing was putting a clear sign on the outside of her house so that it was publicly known she had rejected her own culture and put her faith and trust in something else. God is asking you and I, if we are to live as foreigners and strangers in this world, to daily act out and live out tactical, real promises and demonstrations that we have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean? Well, this means a lot of different things, depending on your circles of life and your different things, but it means publicly professing frequently your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, in demonstrating that. Before we moved to Jamaica, I worked in a biomedical research lab developing vaccines and treatments, and you can ask me more about it later, and I won't tell you. But I had a lot of opportunities. And I remember one time I was sitting with a friend of mine waiting to do something, and he said, you know, Caleb, you work here. I've seen you work. You're a man of science. Do you really believe all that Bible stuff? Well, what I could have said was, no, man. Church just, you know, really makes me feel good and stuff. That's really all I'm there for. Or I could put the rope out my window and look him in the face and say, yeah, I do. You want to know why? And share it with them. See, the world more and more will come to you as a believer and say, do you really believe that you can only go to heaven by believing in Jesus Christ? Does the Bible really say, are you really committed to this book that's old-fashioned and out of date? Just like Rahab, God wants us to put the rope out and say, yes, I don't choose to follow this world and its importance. I have rejected it. And Rahab did that and waited and waited and waited. But finally one day, deliverance came, the walls fell down, and she now had belonging and acceptance and was welcomed into the family of God and is celebrated and married a prince of Judah and became an ancestor to Jesus Christ. But there was a time where she was stuck waiting and she had to put the rope out. You and I might look forward to the day when God delivers us from the suffering and the horribleness of this world and the pain and the loss and the heartache and the sin. But for right now, we live as foreigners and we demonstrate our faith. That's person one. Person two, I'll do even more quickly, but it happens in 2 Kings chapter 5, another story you may be familiar with. And it is about this man called Naaman. Now, Naaman, his identity previously was not harlot like Rahab was. He was a general. He was a commander. He was of the highest level in his nation. He was proud of that fact. But he had a problem. He was a leper. And that affected his identity in life. Even though he had all these great things at his name, he also had this big problem. And so this young girl who was from Israel suggested that he go to another place where there was a prophet of God who could help him out. And if you know the story, you know that he went, and the prophet didn't even come out to meet him. He was offended and he was bothered. The prophet sent a message saying, go dip in the Jordan River. And Naaman didn't want that. That was a disgusting, dirty river. That was a silly thing to ask. He wanted this great feat of strength and bravery and power to demonstrate how great of a person he was. But finally, they convinced him to dip him in the water. And after he dipped seven times, he saw that he was made new. And he went back to the man of God and said, now I know that there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. So please take this present. And I really like in 2 Kings 5 right there, verse 15, now he describes himself, now accept a present from your servant. This is a man who is powerful, who commanded thousands of people, now turning to the prophet and saying, I am your servant. Take a gift. The prophet said, no. And so Naaman says in verse 17, well, if not, if you won't take this thing, please let there be given to, once again, your servant, 2 mule loads of earth. For from now on, your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. What does Naaman ask for? Dirt. He takes some dirt from Israel back to his home. So that when he offers a sacrifice, when he lifts something up to the true God, it is being burned on the physical dirt from God's land. Naaman is now choosing to go back and live in what was his home, but he's now rejected his nation, his people, his culture, his former gods. And to represent that, he wants to dig up some dirt, God's dirt, and take it back with him so that he can live his life in a foreign land with that little pile of dirt as a reminder and a promise that he belongs to somebody else. This great man Naaman, who had vast power in his old life, is now focusing his identity on what a pile of dirt represents. Is that fascinating? We crave comfort, success, achievement, all those things in life. Why do we do that? because it makes us feel good and is easy. But over and over again, we see stories in the Bible of people like Rahab and Naaman who recognize that the world that they live in does not satisfy, cannot protect, and can ultimately not provide them the longing that they need to belong to something eternal, to the God we know and love. And both of them have to choose to carry with them or to demonstrate for the rest of their life the physical, confident reminder of where their belonging is. You know, I realized I came here 14 years ago for a wedding. And at that wedding, two individuals, Nick and Sarah, put on each other's fingers a physical demonstration that they now belong to somebody else. It was the promise to say, I am choosing no longer to carry my own identity, but to find my identity in this other person. And this is a physical representation. We think that's great and that's normal, right? And sometimes we forget that's even on your finger. God has asked believers to live in this current world, on this earth, as if we do not belong. But he doesn't want us to get comfortable or fit in or just survive, to truly thrive under God's command and under God's love and under what God is going to provide for us for the rest of eternity. In both these situations, these people's hearts realized they didn't belong. But what was required of them as they waited for their future total deliverance of their soul and celebration with God for all eternity was to stay in that place, but to demonstrate and choose to live different and publicly proclaim with some sort of physical reality where they truly belonged. So if you want to join with Charity and I and to think of yourself as missional and being sent by God to do his work on this earth, these stories help us realize that we need to publicly proclaim our true belonging. And so as we wrap up, I want you to consider and ask God what that might mean for you. How can you make this public proclamation? How can you demonstrate to the world that you don't fit in? How can you act and live in such a way that you are proclaiming to God and to the rest of the world that you belong to him? You know, that may mean some of the actions that the Bible talks about, like baptism, that are a public proclamation. Or maybe that is engaging in real conversation with coworkers or neighbors or family members who kind of know that you do Christian stuff, but you don't really ever talk about it. It's not really significant in your conversation because you'd rather not, you know, kind of make that an awkward conversation. Maybe God wants you to bring that up and really share and be willing to talk about it and risk being seen as the oddball. But just like Rahab, she had to put the rope out. Naaman had to take a pile of dirt back with him. Both of those things probably were really weird to the people who knew them. What's Rahab doing? She let those people go? Does she not want to be part of us? Why has Naaman got this pile of dirt in his backyard? What's going on? The same thing might be said of us. They really believe the Bible? What's really going on? But the commitment that we have to not value this life communicates and demonstrates to the world that we truly believe there is something better than this world. It's worth living for. It's worth acting upon our lives for. And thus, we communicate a hope and a joy and something that's eternal. The world wants that, or the world needs that. So if you try to fit in to where you're currently living, earth, it's going away. It doesn't satisfy. It's broken. Depending on who you ask, it's more broken than other people think. But in all of that, we say, I have a better belonging, a better hope, a better city. The end of Hebrews wraps that up very well when it talks about that. I'm going to turn there over. This popped in my head just now. Hebrews chapter 13 even says that. It says, Jesus suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach that he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. We don't belong here. If you've chosen to believe and follow after God, you know that. Don't hide inside this world to try to be comfortable. Let us seek the city that is to come, the belonging, the fellowship, the praise, the glory of Jesus Christ for eternity and not for the fleeting pleasures of this world. Then you can share in the missional work that God is doing on this earth. Because a missionary lives in Jamaica or anywhere else like they don't belong. If you live in this community, in this town, as if you don't belong, you share in that same suffering and proclaim Christ with glory and hope and joy for the future. And that tells the world where your value is and what you value in life. And that opens the door to share the wonderfulness of the hope that God provides. So find a way to live like you don't belong. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the salvation you offered that puts us and groups us into a new identity, gives us a new hope and a new belonging. And may you help us, each of us, to find ways to publicly demonstrate that we live in faith to you and belong to you. May we communicate to this world that this isn't what matters. This isn't what lasts. There's something better. We have a part and they can have a part. And like Rahab and Naaman, may we celebrate and rejoice and look forward in faith to eternity and sharing that with you. And let the world know all about it. Challenge us and use this church to reach the world and this community for you through people dedicated to not fitting in and not belonging here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.